la 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break, tell it, grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you'll definitely find smoke, Dayton.
Good evening, bro. Bahamas. Boy, I from Dayton, and welcome bro. To Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside Inner City that comes on Guardian Radio every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our producer in the studio today is Wally. Our telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text us powered by BTC at 422-GR96. Our sponsor for the show today is Bamboo Shock. On today's topic, we're going to talk about a number of matters that's been happening, but we're also going to talk about development. My guest will be a coach. He was on the show a few weeks ago. He is on his way. I have Pastor Hugh Roll from Mission Church headed his way in a few minutes to give an update on the progress the church has been making in the community of Grunstein in the area of Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street. Some outstanding progress has been made, and he just wants to update the public. And this is our partnership working together and giving one ideas and ways how we can use these ideas and make it work for the community that we reside in, especially for the kids and older generation, but mainly the kids. We have Coach Dustin Baker, head coach of C.R. Walker, will be here shortly. Just texted me a few minutes ago. And when I'm talking about progress, I'm talking about community development programs that are going to be very beneficial to the future generation of the community. I want to give my thanks to persons who came to my aid when I was looking to do programs in the area. I didn't have the resources and the finances to make it happen the way I wanted to. But over the course of the years, persons of seeing my work, I respect what I'm doing for the inner city community and what I'm doing for my country on the whole, and watching me for many, many years through the struggles. And I've continued for over 23, 24 years of being a community leader in the Grunstein community, build a friendship relationship with a lot of places around the country who admire me for my work. And they admire me for my work because they know I'm honest and I'm really concerned about my country. And I want to make a difference, and I am making a difference. So I want to give thanks to Lenahan Bahamas and those persons responsible for this great organization. It's not other than Lucas Metropolis. He resides in Florida. He is an outstanding citizen of the world. He has greatly impacted the lives of thousands of Bahamians that reside in this country. And I want to say thanks to him. I'm going to give a little update on the progress that Lucas has been making as a member of Lenahan Board, which was designed to assist those in the inner city community that I reside in, but now it has expanded where it has been an international program now, and it's even getting stronger. I want to thank Sheila Pritchett for an outstanding job of bringing in sponsors, using her network to bring programs and bring aid to the needy people in the Grunstein community in the Bahamas at large. So I want to give a shout-out to Sheila Pritchett. I also want to give a shout-out to Donnie. He's a police officer. He works along with Lenahan Bahamas in the Grunstein area, and he's doing a tremendous job. I also like to say a special thank to Mitzi Burrows for being the coordinator of Lenahan Bahamas, and she has been doing an outstanding job these last few years on coming up with creative ideas, working with persons from around the Bahamas and around the world, strategic plans on how to distribute the food distribution that is being donated from many various groups across the country. I want to say thanks to them. Our latest success is from a great man, the late James Bond actor, Sean Connery. Sean Connery passed away a few years ago. Lucas Metropolis knows him personally, knows the family personally. He talks to them personally, and he was able to convince the Connery family on why they should donate to an organization such as Leonard and Bahamas. And he explained to them, it started with me, it started with him, and then it's grown where we have getting people from around the country to see the need to be a part of an organization like Leonard and Bahamas, which is his only purpose is to try and make education better, decrease poverty, and bring programs that is going to be constructive to the younger generation and what is going to be beneficial to the community and country. So I want to just read it. Sean Connery, and this, these the things that makes change in the country. Okay, we're in the Bahamas. We have a legend, an actor like Sean Connery who just passed away, one of the greatest actors in Hollywood. And he, his family is taking up the reins now to give $100,000 to Leonard Bahamas. So let me read it. A recent $100,000 donation by the family of the late Sir Sean Connery is following his wife wishes and keeping the James Bond star and longtime Bahamas resident passion for the performing arts alive. The Connor family urges us, let me see. The Connor family is a recording studio in the Lanahan Bahamas New Community Center, soon to come. This center is going to be situated on Lewis Street. There's a center on Lewis Street now. But as you can see, across the road from Leonard Bahamas, we Odu, the small community center. Now, across the road from Leonard Bahamas as well, we're going to build a state-of-the-art new community center. And this is a part of the program that is going to be in the community center. That's Coach. All right, let me finish reading it. Recording studio in Leonard Bahamas. Soon to come, second community center. It will serve as a place for members of the Over the Hill community and downtown residents to record music, make broadcasts, play and record instruments, tape, spoken words, and much more. Lucas Metropolis, a Lanahan Bahamas board member, said, while we are still working a few details, what is confirmed is that the recording studio will have programs built around the use of the state-of-the-art space and scale up individuals to actually manage the recording and use of equipment. Speaking on behalf of the Connor family, Stephanie Connery said, our hope is that the recording studio will inspire kids to explore storytelling and their musical passion while refining and furthering their gifts. There are so many talented behemoths with marvelous voices and musical gift. Mrs. Connery added, the existing Lanahan Bahamas Community Center is a lovely concept, but it's limited due to space. Like I said, we outgrew it. Now we went and got a new property, and now we're getting ready to construct a brand new community center. And now we get persons like the late, great Sean Connery, family donating $100,000 to our organization, what was started right in Grandstand, okay? And here's the sweet part about it. Let me see, Ray. Okay. We hope the new center will be a much, much bigger building and will therefore make a huge difference by providing many more opportunities. We're talking about scholarships, better programs, and it's going to be properly funded year-round. So, for those in the Grandstand community that I reside in, you know, I've been working very hard, and you see hard work is pay off. And when you have God on your side, you don't know what you can accomplish. You know, you just got to be open to people. When you see people like Lucas come in your life, you know, I was never biased. I never said he wanted to take over nothing. I just said, you know, brother, I could feel you. You came and you helped me. I see where your heart is. I say, let's go from there. Started off at 2 points, myself, Lucas Metropolis. And I got an assistant from Miss Alexander Millis. And that came from Antonio Roberts. So those connections were able to make all this happen now. And this is going to be the future community center in the Grandstand community that's going to be very beneficial to the next generation of youth growing up in our community. And those musical entertainers out there, you'll be able to record your music. And you never know how far this is going to go, because I think with the proper funding, you guys are looking for a record label somewhere in the Bahamas very shortly, because I guarantee you that Lenahan Bahamas is going to take this to a whole different level. You know, Maestro, who sings the song that comes on this show, you know, when it says Bantan, you know, I always told him, say, Maestro, one of these days, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have some good news for you. We're going to have a studio soon set up in the Grandstand community, and it's going to be free and accessible to those residents residing in the community. So, Maestro, everything I say comes to fruition. That's when you stay focused and you stay with your agenda, and the only agenda you have is that you want to help people, okay? Let me finish read. Lenahan is so impressive in what they aspire to provide. The volunteers put in so much time and effort, and I deeply hope that we can make a difference by providing this facility. Earlier this year, Lenahan Bahamas also received funds to build a reading room and a STEM-focused space in the community center coming soon, just as the rooms will directly support Lenahan after-school and weekend programs. The recording studio will be named after the Sean Connery family. Okay, so we're going to have a Sean Connery community program that is part of Lenahan Bahamas. It's going to name after the family, and it's going to be situated in Lewis Street, Grandstand. You know how big that is for us. Change the dynamics, because we get people who visit the Bahamas, are residents of the Bahamas, are foreigners to the Bahamas, but they see the need to help deal with poverty and crime, and this is how they contribute to the development of our country. So I never stop working. And listen to me, I'm a poor young man, but I always believe that if you believe in God and you have the right agenda, that you're going to make big change in the country. Yes, and it's going to name after the Connery family. So I want to say thanks to Lenahan Bahamas, Lucas Metropolis, especially to Ms. Alexander Melis and Antonio Roberts for meeting you guys. You guys have provided a platform for me. And I hope I live up to your expectation on when I was presented to yourself, that I was received with open arms. And I know that you guys see my passion, and I know that you speak for me. See, these are my spokesperson. They speak for me. You know, persons who Lucas could reach, I could never reach. I could never reach the Connery family. I could never reach the Moscows. I could never reach, you know, the Simonettes. I reach these people because they network. Ms. Alexander, she introduces me to all of the important people in the country who wants to do good for the inner city community, but they have not found persons who are sincere, you know, and they found one in me, and now they're invested in the community that I reside in, you know. So I'm very happy. I want to say thanks again to Lucas Metropolis on a job well done, Ms. Sheila Pritchett, Mitzi Burrows, Danny, and all those volunteers who are part of Lenahan Bahamas. And I want the Bahamas to know this. It only started out with a vision, and that vision was to help the kids in the community. And I was doing that for many years. Alexander Melis came along, former president of Ron Fleum, and then she connected me with Lucas. And from then, Lucas, I've never stopped working for the Bahamas. Never stopped. And mind you, he's a foreigner, he's not a citizen of the Bahamas. But he was inspired by the work I was doing when he saw the situation that I was working with, and how many kids and what I was doing in my community. And that inspired him. He's asking me, say, well, Scrooge, where do you get all this money from? I said, no, that's just the money I hustle and I do these programs with. And he was amazed. And then he just fell in love with me and the country. And that's been over 10 years. And he has never stopped visiting the Grandstand. He's never stopped visiting the Bahamas. He's working for many Bahamians right now in the country. Okay, I got Coach in studio. Coach, what's up, Coach? You ain't get your mic?
Audio video, baby.
We got to get set up. So I want to say thanks to the whole organization of Lenahan Bahamas. Yeah, that one right there. Sorry for the... And yes, I'm Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. And it's my pleasure to be on radio today. And we have Coach Dustin Baker in studios today. He was on the show a few weeks ago. And as I look at the newspaper, we saw the Minister of Education, Honorable Jeffrey Lloyd, and he was spoken on the progress that many of the kids have made with their grades. He said many kids have done well with A's and B's and C's, and it's an improvement from 2019 to 2020, I guess. So he said they criticized the Minister of Education because they have the stats. You know, they did the background check. But I also have a person in the studio who also has his facts and background check, and by the means, he is a teacher, so I do not want to put him in no problems. We just talk naturally from his experience, from those on the inner city community, to see how we can reflect on how we need to more focus on the kids. Okay? So Coach, just introduce yourself to the general public, and then tell us what school you teach at, and then we could go from there.
Good day, good day. First of all, can you hear me now? Good. First of all, thanks for having me on the show.
Always.
My name is Dustin Baker, and I'm a primary school teacher at Sandlands Primary.
Sandlands Primary.
And I coach basketball. I have a youth group, and I coach high school basketball as well. Hitting on your question, can you actually repeat the question for me?
Okay. Just recently, we saw the Honorable Minister of Education. He looked at the grades from the previous year of the curricular system. And he said that many kids have improved from 2019 with A, B, and C's. And me and you were talking on the park just a few weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
We got some feedback, eh? You see, you hear it too, eh? Slightly, eh? I think it's the mic here, okay. I found a problem. Yes. Yeah, we got rid of the feedback. And we're not criticizing what the minister said, because this is a young man, a student, he's a teacher. I'm never gonna cause him any type of problem. That's not what we do. We just want to talk naturally and see how we can improve the situation. Yes, and like I was saying, the minister, I want to see if I get it in my phone. I had it in my phone, but I ended up leaving the newspaper in the car. So, what he said is that there was an improvement from 2019 to 2020 where kids getting A, B, and C's. And that is great. That is great. But talking to you, you're a primary school teacher and you're a high school teacher. And even though we got an improvement in A, B's, and C's, you mentioned the fact that when we were sitting out in the park, you stated that many of these kids can't read, can't write, but yet still, we as teachers or administration, we are what you call?
Passing them along.
Passing them along to the next grade.
Yeah.
Okay? So do you find that disturbing?
I do find it disturbing, and I think we need to implement programs for that. Because if a child can't read, a child can't comprehend, he's gonna fail a life. You know, being able to read and understand, comprehend what you're reading is this the fundamental key to education. So if a child can't read, can't comprehend, he can't do any subject, you know, because you gotta be able to first read and understand. So it goes back to the improvement on the minister said it was improvement, 11% improvement.
Yes.
And I think it is no knock to the kids, because I know a lot of parents put their time in the kids, but I think the improvement is based on the fact that a lot of the kids that don't perform well weren't able to take it or didn't take it, you know, because let's be honest, now with the pandemic, I'm pretty sure school attendance was down. Because a lot of kids didn't have the monies or the utilities to log into school and attend school, you know. So with them not attending school, I'm pretty sure most of them didn't register to take the BGCSEs. So now you have more of your excellent students, more of your, you know, kids that excel taking exams. Therefore, there's an increase because you have, you know, the ones that more suited to take the exams, taking the exams than the mass majority, you know?
Wow. So let me just read it quick. Let me read the article. There was almost 11% increase in the number of students who received an A, B, and C grade in the Bahamas General Certificate of Secondary Education, the BGCSE, exams in 2021. Minister of Education Jeffrey Lloyd said it has been confirmed that 11% better performance A through C grades in the BGCSE. Imagine that this is a pandemic now. Almost 11% better than 2019 in A through C, which is, of course, the grades most people always look at. In the Bahamas Junior Certificate BJC exams, Lloyd said, more students were awarded an A than ever before. Now, what is, he said, also bear in mind that there were many in the public domain, even some stakeholders, saying, oh, the ministry should cancel these exams. The minister said, the minister should cancel these exams. All you are doing is putting these children at a disadvantage. We knew better. We knew there were students who were preparing, like you said. We knew students had time because of school and so on, and they wanted to take this exam. He said the Ministry of Education was bombarded with requests from parents and students to allow the exams to continue. The national exams were held between April 13 and June 25th. These were concerns among some about holding exams during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. According to Lloyd, 5,087 students registered for the BGCSE exam and 9,382 registered for the BJC exam. Controversy arose last year following the release of the 2000 national exam results. The data showed that fewer students sat the 2020 national exam, and those who did worse than the students who took them the year before. However, Lloyd and other officials from the Ministry of Education declared the entire exam process was a remarkable accomplishment and success. The 2020 results have not yet been fully released to the public. So just like you were saying, and you heard about how much people he talked about being success and whatever. But you're saying there could have been more because a lot of kids did not have access to computers, did not.
And that goes back. That's my personal opinion, you know. And like I said, if a kid's not logging in and coming to school, you know, they're not registering for an exam.
Wow.
And, you know, the exam is overall, it's a compilation of everything you've done. It's a compilation, and you know the exam, it's a compilation of everything you've done during the school year, you know? So, can you hear me now?
Talking to Mike.
Okay, so, yeah, like I said, the exam is a compilation of everything you've done throughout the school year and your years leading up to that point. So, if we have a low attendance in school, you think most of the kids going to sign up to take an exam. So, you know, so like, but like I said, you do have, and it's a national exam, so private school will take it, public school will take it. It's not just public school students taking exams. It's everybody. You know what I'm saying? So I just, congratulations on the numbers and the kids that passed it and succeeded. you know, but I just, my personal opinion, I just think more of the outstanding kids took it. So that's why we saw an increase.
Wow. See, the reason I brought Mr. Baker on because he has first-hand knowledge, just like the caller when they talked about the dialysis ward at the Princess Margaret Hospital. See these hands-on persons. They see these things. You know, they go and visit these homes where these kids reside in. And that's one of the reasons why we have to pay special more attention to the kids in this COVID-19 pandemic. The kids them have been out of school now for 19 months. Many of them have lost the education they receive before pre-COVID-19. So just like you're saying, many of them don't have access to computers. So even though these numbers are good, overall, it looked good on paper. It's an excellent a thumbs up. But like you said, there are many kids out there right now who didn't have the opportunity to even sign up and take the exams because they didn't have the money. If they didn't have the money, they didn't have the technology. If they didn't have the technology, many were not interested because everything is messed up in the country now.
Yeah,
you know, everything is turning over right now in the country. You know, it's crazy in the country right now. You know, and many of these kids have been on the streets for almost 18, 19 months now.
Yes.
You know, many of them, you know, have been move around from apartment to apartment because their parents can't afford to pay rent for, they only can stay to a place for 3 months, then they have a backup bill, so the landlord got to put them out, they go someplace else. So the kid is never, ever comfortable.
Yes.
And there's a while, I mean, he had to go from D.W. Davis to C.I. Gibson, from C.I. Gibson to, you know, et cetera. Yeah. And then they living in a community where there's no upbringing, you know? And this is the problem now we're facing now, where we have young guys out there doing serious crime in the country. So we really need to focus more on the kids in the country. We have a call on the line? Okay, go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Yes, thank you, and good evening.
Hey, teacher.
You and your guest.
Hey, teacher.
I would like to collaborate or coincide with what he has said, and he's on point, and he's correct. I don't even think the Honorable Minister will deny his analysis a while ago, the analysis of the gentleman.
Yes.
Because the Minister of fewer numbers taking the examination, not just this year, but there has been a trend and a pattern every year, less and less taking the national examination. But I want to congratulate you for your program. You know, we're not just friends today and yesterday and for 5 years. We've been friends from a long time ago.
Yes, yes.
From the time Garden Radio have you on in this program.
Yes.
And so in the earlier part that you mentioned, the success and the help that you're getting.
Yes.
I want to tell you, keep on keeping on. It's getting better.
Getting better.
In all our situation. And as best as I can, all the promises I made to you, I will try to catch up in them in time, you know. I mean, you know, I can give you, I can send you a text to let you know how I'm able now to do more than what I could have done. You know what I'm saying? When I had transportation problem, I couldn't come and look for you as now I could do. Now that I don't have transportation problem, I should be able to come and check on you.
Yes, right? Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir. Teacher.
So have a good afternoon, and thank you for the gentleman in the studio. He's on point.
Yes.
And as I said, he's not saying anything controversial or anything that. Not even that would need a rocket scientist to understand, because it was actually borne out from what was said and what was reported.
Yes, thank you very much, teacher. And I know you're a man of your way, teacher. You came to me one day and I think you gave me $50. And
listen. Small potatoes, man. I call that small potatoes, man. Small potatoes, man. Potatoes.
But the thing is, you said you was coming, so you know, I was expecting it or not expecting it. But I mean, when I saw you come, I said, that's a man of my way, and that's what we gotta. That's what we have to commit to ourselves, you know.
Yeah, honor. Man, that's my widow's. That's my widow's mite.
Yes.
But no problem, man. Little I have. Give on to you.
Yes, yes.
Because you're doing a good job.
Yes, thank you very much. And we're getting the center scene. Timing is everything, right, teacher? See, now, you wasn't able to make it because of the transportation, et cetera, right? Now we're getting the Lenahan Bombers, and we have on the department name after the Sean Connery family now. So this is where you can, you understand?
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
teacher,
I know,
you
man.
See?
You had a goal and a vision, and you stuck with it.
Yes,
you put
yes.
it into action.
Yes, and now people from around the world coming to assist. You see? That's
yes,
how
sir.
Great God is.
Indeed,
you don't
indeed.
Have to be a politician or a pastor.
Not at all.
No, you just got to be someone
this is free
committed.
From politics. This is free from politics. This is just for the betterment of us, the folks in the community that need the help.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Thank you very much, teacher.
All the best.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. We have to take a break. Okay, my producer, Wally, said we have to take a break on Inside the City, so please don't go away. Show is sponsored by Bamboo Shack.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love in the show not for pity. Ain't no love cause you ain't around. When you were mine, oh, I was feeling so good. Cause you love lit up this whole neighborhood. But now that you're gone, you know the sun don't shine from the city hall to the county line. And that's why I said ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love, and it sure is a pity. Ain't no love, cause you ain't around.
Enjoy an elevated mobile experience with BTC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas
for just $50 per line.
Unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC Super, starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or BTCBahamas.com. Conditions apply.
Pediasure, the number one brand recommended by pediatricians, now has 33% less sugar compared to previous formula and provides 25 vitamins and minerals and 7 grams of protein kids need for a healthy growth. It's a convenient meal or snack with a delicious kids-approved taste they'll love. Pediasure, nutrition to help kids grow. Ask your pediatrician about Pediasure today.
Life is always better with a little extra cash. At Solomon's, we know that every penny saved is a penny toward more happy times with those you love. With super savings in every aisle and budget-pleasing buys every time you shop, you can get closer to that family vacation you've been dreaming about. Go on, earn that new air fryer in produce. Snag that Exuma getaway with your cereal. Rawson Square Junkanoo tickets, aisle 7 just restocked. Bring it all together at Solomon's, where you can save more and live better.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome to the inner city, inner city.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love in the show not for pity. Ain't no love cause you ain't around. When you were mine, oh, I was feeling so good. Cause you love lit up this whole neighborhood. But now that you're gone, you know the sun don't shine from the city hall.
We're back on Inside Inner City on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. I know the person who allowed me to be on Garden Radio, right, who has remained anonymous for many, many years. I met them at the Atlantic Ball over Atlantis, and they asked somebody in consideration with Amanda Cullison and Yuli Wogus if I would take the opportunity to come on radio. Now, mind you, I never had no past experience. I was working with GEMS, with Debbie Bartlett and Gandhi, who was, they are wonderful, wonderful person at a GEMS radio station. And I was just a part-time person lying into speaking for the inner city community and learning how to talk on the radio. And when the opportunity presented itself for me to be a host of my own, I always said that when I got this show, I want to highlight those persons like yourself, Dustin, anyone in the community who are doing great works. I want to go find them, opportunity to use their voice to talk about their experience and what they're doing for the country and how we can do more to actually change the dynamics or where we're headed in the country. And I know that the management staff at Garden Radio are real proud to have me on here on Garden Radio, because I know they're saying to themselves, this young man has gone above and beyond to make sure that you have the right set of people come on the radio who needs to be highlighted. And the young man is also doing a tremendous job in his community and country with programs that are set for the foundation of the future development of the country. So I just want to say, you know, I want to thank God in radio for giving me the opportunity so that I can actually go then find persons like Mr. Baker, Pastor Hugh Roll, and C.B. Moss, who are out there, and they're fighting for a cause that is bigger than us, you know. We are fighting for the future generation in the country. I just want to say thanks again to the Sean Connery family for donating to Lenahan Bahamas organization for music department. And that is going to change it. So Maestro is listening. And Maestro, like I said, this is Big Nose. This is going to change the dynamics in our community. We're going to have many magicians coming out of our community. We're going to have many scholarships. So we can see talent like never before coming out of the Grandstand community. And you can imagine having a person like the Connery family supporting the local community. It's going to be big. The connection they have worldwide and the people from Life of Key. We're going to see so many kids get scholarship. We're going to see a change. The generation is going to have a chance. And that's what we're fighting for, right, our coach?
Yes, sir.
We're fighting for them to have a better chance.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay? So it's going to be big. So we're soon through the ground opening very shortly so we can start construction once we get okay from Lucas Metropolis, who's looking for sponsors here in the Bahamas and around the world. So he would soon get back to the Bahamas after he finished negotiating and talking to many our partners and donors. And then we'd make great progress in the inner city community. And also goes to say about Salem Union Baptist Church, which is also part of this partnership, because Pastor Hugh Roll of Salem Union Baptist Church always confides in me. He asks me on what you think needed in the community. Now he's been in the state-of-the-art basketball court on Taylor Street. So Mr. Baker, you're a coach both in Stapleton School and then both coach at C.R. Walker School. Uh-huh. And then you're a coach also in the inner city community because you get most of my kids from the community now. And the Yell Wing, you know, I'm still into the basketball program, but I'll just be doing events. But for you, the link up is going to be with Pastor Hugh Roll at Salem Union Baptist Church because they have a state-of-the-art basketball court now. Mm-hmm. Any events now is not going to be held on H Street Basketball Court. No, mm-hmm. It's going to be held on Taylor Street Basketball Court because we want the church to tie in with the community. You know, we just don't want to teach them basketball.
Yeah.
We want to be able to have them in an environment. There's a wall up. Mm-hmm. There's a nice... They surface in the park, and this is to attract the kids so they can be close to the church. Then the church will set up the computer classes. They'd have their back school programs, and this is when the kids are training on the park. Mm-hmm. They'll have access to the church for after school programs like read and write, like etc.
Yeah.
So all this is a combination of what is happening in the Grandstand community. Now, pay attention. That is Salem Union Baptist Church. We have Lenahan Bahamas in the community, and don't forget Pastor Ferguson of the Big Harvest community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has been doing a tremendous job there for many years, and he himself is coming up more creative programs. So we're tackling piece by piece in the inner city community, so we're getting stronger in the Grandstand community to help the majority of the kids in the community, because we are developing programs and working together and putting ideas together to make sure that we're working in a square block. See, it's hard to deal with the whole Bahamas.
Yeah.
You have to say, let's work from a square box, and then we're going to work together, and we're going to partner together, and we're going to work together, and we're going to work this block. We're going to know who all live in this community, and then we're going to work this block, you know. And that's what we're doing now in the Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street area with Pastor Hugh Roll, Lenahan Bahamas, and Pastor Ferguson from Big Harvest Community for many years.
That's a major thing, and, you know, and like I say, stuff like that, they bring inspiration. And just how y'all start, like you say, from your block, you inspire somebody from another block to want to do it. And now we go from not just having one block, the two block, the three block, the four, and then that's how we reach the whole Bahamas.
That's how you reach the whole Bahamas.
You got to start somewhere. You can't conquer the whole Bahamas at once.
No.
You know?
So it's pastors working together, community leaders working together. The thing is, like you said, they respect me.
Yes,
they come and get my input.
Yeah.
They treat me like they're equal.
Yeah.
You know, when they call me, they sit me down in the room, they give me a little coffee, my little stuff, and they treat me with respect. And when I talk, I listen to them, and they listen to me, and we put our plans together. And we've been very successful. Mm-hmm. That's why we've been able to have donors like the Connery family, the Moscows, the Seminary. Seminat families and et cetera. The Dorset family were donated the property for the First Lenahan Bahamas Community Center. Mm-hmm. You know, because, see, as a person, I never took leadership in none of those programs mm-hmm. because I knew I can't reach certain people. So I sit back and I watch the progress. If there's something for me to complain about what I see was going on wrong, I would never go and attack the person. I would go outside and I would call Lucas Poison. I said, Lucas, how we could work around here? And then we deal with that behind the scenes. Yeah. And once me and Lucas speak, that'd be the end of it. There are things that I see people who are doing, and they don't know I'm the one who started the organization along with Lucas and Mr. Dawson and stuff like that. But I never use my power to say, hey, what you doing wrong? And believe I someone important. Yeah. I don't do that.
No.
I don't do that because that person made a mistake.
Yeah.
But if I go there and bash them, you know, it's going to make the situation worse.
Yeah.
I go in secret and I refer the matter to a specific person, and then they go and they speak to the person, and then the problem is solved. There were some bags that were given out to family members when I was standing there. It's supposed to be bags for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this comes on us. This comes with discipline.
Yeah.
The food was donated from people from Laifiki, people from around the country, and was supposed to give in to each and every individual. But there are persons who were standing. I was standing on the side because the person called me and said, watch. And they had their family. And their family lived on Michael Road, Fox Hill, which they ain't supposed to be in this particular area.
Yeah.
And this family member who is a part of the program as a volunteer was given special interests.
Yeah.
And I stand and I watch and say, yes. And I reported it. And then I had to stop.
Yeah.
You see? I could have made it worse and go there and, hey, what you doing? Why are you doing this to your family? And then, no, I didn't do that because I'm a professional.
Yeah.
You see? I'm a professional. So that's how we got to do things in the country. So sorry about that, Coach. Tell us some of your experience with Sandlands, where you're at now.
Oh, the Fox Hill community, great community. You know, it's a village.
It's a village.
Yes, from you in Fox Hill, you're gonna know everybody in Fox Hill, know everybody. They're not like when they accept you, they accept you.
Wow.
You know, and it's a family oriented community up there, and I just love it, man. Like, everybody know everybody. Once you build a good rapport, that rapport stay. They trust you with their kids. Like, you're hand on. You can every day. It's a lot of athletes. You know, it's a lot of athletes in the Fox Hill community because they still do the things that we were doing when I was coming up. They still get outside. They still play. They still, you know, they still in touch with the Bohemian way. You know, they play. They get out. They have time for education, but they also have time for leisure and recreation. And I see a lot of good athletes come with the Fox Hill community.
Wow. So you say you're just disabling.
Standards
primary. Uh-huh. That's people who are disabled? Or?
No, it's and then let me clarify that.
Because I want to know because...
Sandlands Rehabilitation is the hospital.
Right.
You know, Sandlands Primary is a school. It's a government public school. It's not a special needs school.
Okay.
You have regular performing kids. Like, it's just... When you hear silence, you think about the hospital.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Laughing. That's true. Because
we get it a lot. We get it a lot.
All right.
No, it's not a special needs school.
Okay. And I want people to know, this young gentleman is a hands-on gentleman. He knows how to deal with at-risk kids. Tell us your experience. There was two troublesome twins. I always talk about them. But, right? These two. Listen to me, the general public. Twins reside in the Grandstand community of Lewis Street and A Street. You know, they had a tough life, you know, family life, broken home, right? And they have good parents. I mean, you know, aunties and cousins, et cetera,
yeah.
Right? But other than that, you know, that's the home. But on the streets, everyone learned to be tough and rough. Every year, I was on this tournament, and they were like 7, 8, 9. Every year, one would play in the tournament, in the Super Mini. The next twin, they ain't identical.
No,
they ain't identical, but they twins. And I just want to tell you all people, one would play basketball, and the next one, over the wall. And listen to me. These two little boys, every minute, they look fight on the park. You know? Every them two. And they stay ganging, right? So my way of dealing with them, it's that I know they want to play basketball. You can't get physical with kids like that because they're already growing up tough and they're very wild and they're very easy to get angered because, you know, they don't have no no anger management in the community. In the community, you see a lot of violence. So many of the persons in the community, rough and tough. And that's why we're trying to break that cycle, you know? So we'd run into plenty of problems with kids. So I know the one who like to play the boss, so I know the next little one. So I would always say, Manny, what them two names now?
Money and Manny.
Yeah, right. Money and Manny. And I always say, Money is the one who play basketball, and he's good at basketball. And I was telling Money, you ain't going to play out in the tournament tonight. Yeah, let's live home, right? And he look at me, I say, go home, and, you know? And I say, you two, Manny, you ought to go home, right? And boy, them two going walking on the road. They cussing boy going on the road. But they always respected me because I never once try handle them in a manner where I trying to disrespect him, because even the little kids, you know, you can't disrespect him. You know, you can't put your hand on him, and you can't curse him, you know. And I was always able to deal with that. And it's hard to believe. I grew up rough and tough. I can tell you, there ain't much go rough and tough as me. Yeah, and not in this Bahamas, all right? Not living in Lewis Street and Hayes Street and Taylor Street. So I'm glad to know that I was able to deal with the situation. So tell us the progress of Money. Money always again, but tell us the progress of the Money.
Well, when I first met him, I just saw him playing in a tournament, you know, and he was just scoring a lot of points. I keep hearing people say his name. I was infatuated by his name at first. So I just, when the game was over, I just reached out to him. I had just got the job at Sierra Walker. I just reached out to him, and he told me he wanted to play ball, he wanted to be in school. He said he was not in school. That was a shocker to me because he was only 15 at the time and he was not in school. So, you know, I got all his credentials. When I went to get his stuff from CC Sweden, he didn't have any records because, you know, his time at CC was short before being expelled. So I just he could have played. I saw he was troubled. As I did more research, I saw he's coming from a troubled background. I just wanted to give him an opportunity, you know, and that's what a lot of these kids be needing most of the time, you know. Their background can be troubling. We get that being from inner city kids, but we still have to give them an opportunity, and we still gotta be a big brother or a father figure to them. And when I found his situation, you know, I grew a little more compassion for him, you know. So I just wanted to help him. I wanted to give him an opportunity. So he wanted to play. And, you know, I reached out to everybody, my principal, the member of parliament, was Travis Robinson at the time. And first, you know, it was hard getting him in the Sierra Walker. But when I reached out to the MP, the member of parliament, you know, he worked his magic, and
wow,
we got him in.
That's awesome.
You know, that was the first step. You know, we got him into school. When we got him into school, you know, I laid the laws down. I let him know, like, you know, a lot of people, I put my name on the line for you, you know, don't disappoint me. And I just never treated him like I wasn't militant. I wasn't down his throat. Mm-hmm. Do this. I just simply just recognize with his struggle, you know, and
not try to agitate the situation.
I noticed he was living a grown man life, so I handled him like even at 15, 16.
He was living a grown man life. Yeah. Explain that to the general public. What you mean he's living? How old he is? 15, right? 15, but what 16. You mean he's living a grown man life?
It's like he had to fend for himself, like, you know, single moms, you know, she working hard trying to provide what she couldn't provide, he had to provide. And, you know, when you face those challenges with those struggles, that's where you fall into the wrong path.
It starts the most cases with many of our young men and females in the country. It's similar to
with mainly young men. You know, young men tend to when they grow up in their life, they tend to go in a direction where we see a lot of young men going in, and I just, God placed me in his life at the right time. That's all I can say. You know, it's at 15, 16. That's when guys start to go the next direction. And God placed me in his life at the right time. I just took him under my wing. I just talked to him constantly. You know, I put discipline was in his life. You know, I made him understand, you know, you got an opportunity, you got a second chance. Most people don't get second chances. You got a second chance. Make the best of the opportunity. And he respected that, you know, for the first time in his life. It's like he had a male figure that he respected, a positive male figure.
And I watch him transform. Now, he can dribble the basketball. So I teach him from young age to dribble the basketball. Yeah. But they still had the anger problem, right? Yeah. And then he reached a certain age, like around 15, you know, and he would start to play with us, right? And then I would have to tell him, man, look at this. But you took it to a whole different level. And people don't know how important this is.
Yeah.
You saw his challenges.
Yeah.
And you know that if you were to get mad at him and he make a mistake, you know that would upset him, but yeah. You did something different. You understand the situation. You try to avoid any altercation that what was going to upset him at all possibility.
Yeah.
So that's using.
I'm like, and I'm 33 years old. I'm not old. I'm not young. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then I'm gonna be in town. I'm gonna be in a Grandstown West Creek product.
And you live across West Creek.
I know.
The heart of West Creek.
Yeah, I know it. I can identify with it. The thing about it is, when you can't identify with something, you can't rationalize with it.
Mm.
And that's what a lot of persons in position and power, I cannot sympathize with you. I cannot understand it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if I can't understand it, I can't reach it.
Right.
You know, and a lot, and that's what we have. A lot of people don't recognize these. They don't understand it, so they can't reach the person. And when you can't reach somebody, after a while, what you do, you shun it to the side.
Mm.
And when you shun it to the side, you open up a whole another can of worms.
I just want to say this. Last week, you know, I pronounced a honorarium. You know what the minister was giving out, right?
Yeah.
You know why I did that?
Yeah.
You know, I could speak, I could read, I'm very intelligent, I'm very smart, right? But the reason why I did that is because even though I could pronounce it right and I know what it means, mm-hmm. there are many people that don't even know what honorarium means.
Yeah.
So, how we do things in the country and what we think is effective to the country is not so effective because some of us don't even understand what some of these words is these parliamentarians using in parliament. Man, listen, some of these words and stuff like that, I wonder where they get this word from.
It's called political language.
Political language. And they don't know. Many persons in the inner city community don't even understand what they're saying or what they're even talking about.
Yeah.
You know? Simple phrases.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why we need to educate more.
Yeah.
And you talk about the fact that, you know, the young man was acting like a man at the age of 15.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that. General public, and this is what's going on in our society today. So now tell us about the success.
Yeah,
what has happened to him? I saw his transformation. He has actually transformed.
One of the greatest things that I've experienced as a coach, as a young coach as well, like mm-hmm. when you see a young man come from that beginning and he had no grades because like
no
I said,
grades.
His transcripts was just nothing. You know, because he, I think, was less than 2 months. So he never completed a term. He never took no exams.
What happened to him in the 2 months?
He's constantly getting in trouble, constantly fighting and, you know, having a fan for his life. So he just made that decision. And that's what I told you. At 15, he made that decision just to not attend school anymore.
And I asked him, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, why? What happened to you at school?
They just made
and they
that
say
decision.
Try again with coach. Yeah. I listen to them. Don't listen to me. See, I know you from when you was a little kid. Yeah. You know, from used to come in the park. Even when I was a gang leader,
yeah.
And I never disrespect. No, I never disrespect. And I always, you know, even though I was in the world, I never ever said nothing to say go put a gun in your hand or go do nothing like that. I was always say, brother, go for it. You know, I was so proud to see you going off to college, my brother. I feel so good. But you know what I mean, player? That's the player, baby. You all need to make it, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was
real proud, you know, to hear you going off and man, listen, you come back and you visit in your off season, you come on the play in the park, you know?
You gotta stick to
the
roots.
Yeah, man. That was awesome. That was awesome, man. So I always encourage poison like yourself, you know. I was never a poison wanted someone to be in the position I was in because the position I was in, I didn't want to be in the position I in. If I had an opportunity when I was around 15, 16, 17 to really have like a mentor like yourself, you know, I think I would have did the same thing that money is doing now.
Yeah.
So where's money now?
Right now, he's in the, currently in the United States.
Oh, where?
He's in the United States.
I know that, but I'm trying to play the fool.
Okay. He's in the,
but where is he now?
He's in the United
States. When he traveling now, that's a guy who has no grades. Who just so many twin brothers there.
Yeah.
Right now,
I had no passport.
No passport.
I need my passport. I need to see the world. Okay, we work on that.
Hold that right down. He's a BMA?
Yes, sir.
So let me tell you all people listening to this. He didn't have no passport.
Yeah.
Never traveled.
Yeah.
Never had a bank account. None of these things, and this is behaving. I mean, you're talking about Haitian nationals. How far behind in the mama's race. That's why we talked about the A and B and C, what the Minister of Education was talking about.
Yeah.
This guy is an A-B student. But like you said, if you don't have the right person and the person who influenced him to do the right thing, what would he be in?
Another statistic.
Because you get a twin brother right there. And his twin brother, you weren't pushing him.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say this. His little brother is a hard boy on the road now.
Yeah.
Okay? Your little brother is a hard boy on the road. And I think that, you know, we just have to focus on our young people in the country.
We
need to invest seriously in our young people.
Yeah.
And we need patience.
Yeah.
We need people like you, yourself, man. You know, we have no ambitions. Your job, see, you have ambitions.
Yeah.
You want help.
Yeah.
You want to see success. You see, that's just like what...
I don't have any underlying motive.
Right. You just want to see success. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I was awarded opportunities. It was only right that I award somebody else with opportunity.
And how did it make you feel?
That made me feel great because, you know what I'm saying? I save a life. I mightn't be able to save
100 or 20.
But I save one. And that's a difference, you know.
You could return the favor.
Yeah. My
goal. Even have somebody else done.
And that's my goal. And like I say, man, like you say, he had no grades. I remember.
No grades. What grades?
He had no grades because
what grade he was in?
He was in the 10th.
The 10th grade, no grades.
No grades. Get kicked out of school at the 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember standing in the presence of the principal, and she was like, "Coach, I don't know. Is he able to do the work?" And I was like, "We don't know, because he don't have any grades, you know." And he's 15. I'm like, I told her, I can never forget. I was like, you cannot shut the door on this guy. Like,
you cannot. You look at her. This will make a change in mind. She's consistent on not letting him in the school. But it's you
on
how you reach her.
You know, and she was focused on, can he do the work? Can he do the work? I'm like, we don't know, but we got to give him a chance. You know, I was like, Mom, I told her these were my exact words. I was like, hey, if you shut this door on this kid in a year or two,
you'd be dead.
When you leave in C.R. Walker and you driving down the hill,
that'd be him right now.
He can be one of those guys that run up on your car and trying to rob you or something. I say, give him an opportunity. And when I told her that, I saw she was moved by it.
She was timid.
She was like, Coach.
You reach out.
She was like, Coach, that's it, let's go. And his very first report card, she was like, why he get kicked out of school?
Yeah.
I think, and she's a no tolerant woman, and I respect her to this day, you know, because she gave me an opportunity to come to Miss McKay.
Miss McKay.
Yeah, she.
I know Miss McKay. That's Miss McKay. That's my teacher. That's what the C.R. Walker.
Yes, that's my girl.
That's my
and I remember, I'll never forget. His first report card. She's like, Coach, where's the guy that, you know, the one you, and I was like, she's like, is he still at school? And I was like, yeah, at school. She's like, I don't hear him, he don't. I was like, because I already, you know, I told him, I put my name on the line for you, don't let me down, don't embarrass me.
Wow.
She didn't even know if he was
in school,
how quiet and
he's happy to be back in school. He know you went on the line for him.
And when he got his first report card, 2.75.
Stop playing, man. You're lying.
He's
lying,
above
man?
Average. You know lying. What I'm saying?
This guy must be about 1.09, right?
I implemented study hall.
You implemented study hall?
We do 1 hour study hall.
So it's hold on. Listen to this now. So you're training them basketball, but you have a study hour. So it's not just about basketball. You're teaching them about
everything. You gotta be well-rounded, you know?
All right.
And every afternoon, by the time I get to see him, he used to be the first one in study hall. I gave them worksheets that they had to, every morning, They get one for every Monday. They get one. Everybody get one. Mm-hmm. And then that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yeah, all the periods. And every block you go to,
your
teacher have to sign it. You have to, if you have assignments, she had a space where she could make a note if you was late, if you was disruptive. You know what I'm saying? If you had homework, everything was on there. You had to write it down. If you had a class assignment, you didn't finish, you had to write it down. And she had to sign it. For every class you go to that day, each one of your teachers had to sign it. And when I came to study hall, this is how I know if you had homework or not, if you had any assignments and your due date and whatever. And for that hour, you'd be working on those assignments, them homework and everything.
Before you touch the board.
Before we get out and before practice start, you got to knock it down. So when we go into practice and I'm pushing you and I'm working you, when you leave practice, you don't have to worry about your schoolwork anymore because it's already completed. You know, and I learned this because I've been to college. Wow. You understand what I'm saying? So I took what I learned and I implemented back in the country, into my boys, into my program. And now you can focus on basketball. You know what I'm saying? You have your time for school.
You can make 2.70 something. So.
And what a lot of people don't know is you only have to be, for an athlete, you only have to have a 2.0. Everybody's not going to be 3.5, 4.0, mm-hmm. 2.0. You understand what I'm saying? That's the learning curve that they created for athletes. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is maintain a 2.0 and you can receive a scholarship if you have exceptional skills. And that's what I try to teach the guys.
So you make sure they could.
That's the scale. We're not going to worry about 3-point right now. We're going to get to the scale.
They could read.
And
they could write. They could add. They could multiply. They could take away. Yes.
It's a comprehension level now. I only want you at the comprehension level.
Yes.
And like you say, we start with this one little block and then we branch off. So this is the goal. I need to get all my guys at a comprehensive level. And once we get you at a comprehensive level, now you can add. You understand? You can add and you can keep going. Then you could be at a 2.0, then a 2.20, then a 2.5. You know what I'm saying? When you get to 2.5, you're above the comprehension level. Mm. So now you could add. Now you could excel for the 3.0s and what. And you want pace to graduate.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're killing all these birds with one stone and you're getting to play basketball.
And you stand a chance of getting a scholarship and getting the hands of someone who is going to help you.
Exactly.
And you could have a better future.
Exactly.
And you could travel the world.
So piece by you, that's why we need in these positions that know what they're doing and know how to get them.
Not politically affiliated.
No, you got to have a plan.
Not because you're a part of a political party.
Yes.
You are doing a good job, but they don't like you. They want that position. They want to give this one something to do because they are part of the party.
Yes.
I'm going to boycott you who are doing an excellent job just because I'm a part of a political party. I'm going to move the man who has the concerns of the child at best interest, who checking up on the kids, come up with a great idea to make sure that when they go into classes, the teacher signs off on it.
Yes.
And, they rather put someone there politically inclined. And that needs to stop in our country because we're killing the country.
It needs to stop.
That's just like when the Minister of Health, Honorable Reginald Wells, mm-hmm. stated that, funds were given out to certain departments and certain people were able to pick certain people out of the department to give them their payment with what was due.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give the taxpayers' money to a next person who is going to pick.
Deserve it, yeah.
No, it don't work like that, sir.
Yeah.
You don't work.
I think that's an absolute slap in the face. Like, my mom's a nurse.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm trying to tell
you?
And every day, nurses falling down.
Dying.
My mom's
overworked.
A nurse, bro. You know what I'm saying? My mom's a nurse.
Your mom's a nurse.
Yeah, so she's one of those, you understand what I'm saying? Recipient. No, she's not. I'm
yeah,
saying
no,
she
no,
dropped
no.
down that. But
yeah.
She, you mm-hmm. know, she's exposed to all these things. You know, when she leave work, she come home. You know what I'm saying? She's around me, my son, my brother, my step pops. Like, that's like, come on,
so
man. That's a,
she
that's
is
a
old
dead, in the face.
Sacrificing for the nation by mm-hmm. helping other persons who could possibly be contaminated or if it's contaminated, has some type of illness, and she puts herself at risk, only to come home to her family, and you don't never know what she... I'm not saying it like that.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and then nothing necessary, you could contract something and get home. Exactly. And then you're underpaid and overworked.
That's a total disrespect and slap to the face. Like, pay these people, man. Like, they, you know the predicament we would be faced with if every single nurse, doctor just walk out of the hospitals and say, we're not servicing anybody.
That's it. We finish.
You want, like, do they, like, I really, really sit and I wonder, like, do these people understand the importance of people? Like, healthcare is a serious thing.
And the problem stems from this. The parliamentarians, right, they're earning a salary of less than $100,000 a year. By the time they leave parliament, minimum of 20, 15, 10, 100 million dollars. That is the same funds we're supposed to be paying for the teachers.
Exactly.
So they're causing a serious problem to our country, you know.
Yes.
You understand? Because that could go to the civil service and people would be more appreciative to do their job in a timely fashion and not stressed out.
And that's why you hear complaints where people say they hate going to the hospital because they don't get good service. They don't get, you know, staff, you know, like, staff is short. Like, if you can, come on, man. If you could go in, this, I'm not no accountant, you know, I'm not no auditor, but it's simple maths, man, and it's simple logistics. If a politician can go in, barely making $100,000 a year, and leave, and when you leave, in the capacity that you were elected, you have 20 million. Something seriously wrong with that.
And that's the 20 million.
And that's 20 million that can be going towards
the teachers.
Teachers payment.
Doctors.
Doctors, nurses. And that's just one person.
Right.
That's just one politician.
One politician.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me we don't have any money. Because if you can steal 20 million, it don't take 20 million to pay each nurse $1,500, each teacher $1,500. If you pay every nurse $1,500, that would not up to 20 million.
Hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
And if it didn't.
And even if it did, then so be
so,
it.
So be
they
it.
They deserve it.
Because
you understand
they,
what I'm saying?
Yes.
Same thing with teachers. Like,
they underpaid.
You can't have,
everyone underpaid in the
you
country.
You can't have a doctor. You can't have a politician. You can't have a nurse. You can't have a doctor without a teacher. Show appreciation, man. Like, I just feel like it's a lack of appreciation, and sometimes it's a disrespect, because I can say one thing. When it's time for these politicians or the powers that be to get their increase, their money never late. So why my money have to be late? Why a nurse or a doctor or police or, you know what I'm saying? Why our money always have to be late? And we doing all the groundwork.
So how you expect me to perform, right? If I'm a nurse, right? And I'm sitting down at the hospital.
Yeah.
I get all my bills home,
yeah.
Right? The government that I work for, say, ain't paying me.
Yeah.
My heart is good to the patients.
Yeah.
But when I see that 200 people coming through that door, brother, I go polish my nail. Hey, I see why them nurses is being in the hospital where they polishing their nails and parting their face. I see why now.
And passing the government time.
Passing the government time.
It's too much. That's like you putting 40 kids in a classroom with one teacher. And you want a teacher.
Do with 40 kids?
And no knock to nobody. Out of the 40, at least 15 to terrible. 20 of them are foreign nationals that can't speak English.
You was a teacher, so you know.
This is what we faced with. So, you know, I think it's just. When we get people that appreciate people like us, teachers, and people that I call us the foot soldiers, you know? We do all the groundwork. So I feel like any decision we need to be included in.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have somebody to speak. I'm not talking about no administrative, no union. Like, we need a teacher somebody that can speak for the teachers, somebody right. that can speak for the nurses, a nurse that's who, on the ground
who,
that know.
Who independent.
You understand?
They ain't no PLT, they ain't around for the union, you know they just into the people.
And just and know the challenges, so like, it can hit home, it can hit direct, man, like.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the minister, Renwood Wells, you know, Minister of Health, he said that he didn't handpick nobody, you know, to give them to honorarium, but which revealed that his driver and personal assistant, who ain't in the front line, they're the chauffeur around and personal assistant, so he gave them and they returned it. So this is what we're talking about now. The money is going where it's not wanted. It's because you're affiliated with a person and they want to give you something back because, you know, it's a favor, but it is also taken away funds from persons out there who really and truly deserve it.
Just, man, yo, that's the ultimate slap in the face, man.
And then he also tell us poisonous.
If you want to give the man some money, go in your own pocket.
Oh, and give him that.
You got it.
Give
you him got money. Enough.
Yes,
bro.
That's
everybody
right.
Everybody know. You got enough.
Why
bro.
You won't go pension the money?
And get pay him. If you want to give him something, you want to give your driver your poisonous, go in your own pocket and do it. You got enough, bro.
Don't use the taxpayers' money.
That's, like, my mom's just literally heard about that. For 2-3 days, I had to listen
she
to her
believe
phone,
it.
Talking to her colleagues, and she mad and she hurt. Like, that's a slap in the face.
It's a slap in the face. All
that's
payments.
A slap in the face.
And
man.
He come
like,
on the TV smiling
too,
like some
yeah,
kind of
it's
joke.
Too, it's that kind of stuff been going on too long. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not accusing nobody of anything.
No.
We know what goes on with government.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? So, mm. I mean, go in your pocket and give him that your own, you know.
Producer, we have to take a break, hey? Okay, producers, we have to take a break. Don't go away. We have Dustin Bacon Studios, and we are talking about everything today. We're talking about education. We're talking about the kids. We're talking about some things we're seeing going on wrong in the government sector, and it's not right, and, you know, something to discuss.
Yeah.
So, we'll be right back. After the break. Don't go nowhere, people. 'Cause you ain't around. When you were mine, oh, I was feeling so good. 'Cause you love me now.
Enjoy BC giving you
unlimited talk for the best conversations,
unlimited data for all your online fun,
and unlimited roaming to stay connected while overseas.
For just $50 per line,
unlock unlimited mobile talk, data, and roaming when you sign up for BTC super fast fiber internet with speed starting at 100 megabits per second. Enjoy more great savings and value. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
PediaSure, the number one brand recommended by pediatricians, now has 33% less sugar compared to previous formula and provides 25 vitamins and minerals and 7 grams of protein kids need for a healthy growth. It's a convenient meal or snack with a delicious kids-approved taste they'll love. PediaSure, nutrition to help kids grow. Ask your pediatrician about PediaSure today.
Our free pick, pack, delivery service gives everyone in the Family Islands a chance to shop a variety of club products and prices right from home. Simply call or WhatsApp your order to 242-677-7266 or email order at amlfoods.com. A friendly customer service representative is waiting to pick, pack, and deliver your order to the mailboat of your choice. The options are truly endless, and with membership, you save even more. So order today and let Costrite pick, pack, and deliver right to you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome to the inner city, inner city, inner city.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city.
We're back on Guardian Radio, 96.9. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. And in studio, we have Dustin Baker, teacher at Sandlands and also at C.R. Walker in his job with many kids, and he's even getting better. He went away to the States a few years ago. I was learning of a lot of their curricular system, and he's brought it back to the Bahamas. Most people, when they leave from the Bahamas and they go to the States and be successful, many of them remain there, and there's many reasons why they should remain there, because this foolishness going on in the country with underpaid. I would do the same thing too, but through God, we were able to get Mr. Baker back into the country because he must miss his mom and his family and stuff like that. But not only that, he is here and he's making a great, 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 great difference in the lives of the young boys that he inherits from this particular community. And people don't know how important it is to actually nurture these young men, you know, and it has to come from the heart, you know. There's someone who can say, you know, when you look at these kids, some of these kids are rough and tough. They're cursing, they can't in a particular manner. They have no home training, you know, for some screen reason. And then the teachers take responsibility for these kids. So, you know, it's very difficult for the teachers. So I just want to say this to the Minister of Health, Reginald Wells. Sir, no one in this country is a fool, okay? You know, no one is a fool. And it's a crying shame that you might not have recommended, but it had to have been a recommendation because they are your driver and your assistants. And that's a slap over the face because, like Mr. Baker said, you know, you get paid a good lump sum of funds. You could go in your own pocket and you could have paid your driver and your assistants. Don't use the money to deal with honorarium to go and give your assistant and your driver so that needs to stop in our country, and then he tried to make it seem like by giving it back it's gonna change anything, you know, and they need to keep that because what sense giving it back? We don't no one wants it no more. You know, you need to keep it because it was done bad intention from the beginning. It then was corruption from the beginning. So why give it back? If you're not wrong, then you do not need to give it back.
Exactly.
All right? So you need to let them keep that, you know. And I want to say this, you know, we have a few more minutes. Are you talking about when you went to the school to talk to the principal? What's the principal name again?
Miss McKay.
Miss McKay. Yes, Miss McKay. You said that you told him that you are watching for him. Mm-hmm. And that he is an extension of him. So when he get back in school, you got to be at your best behavior. And you say he perform at a high level where Miss McKay doesn't even know he's in the school.
He never got in a problem. He did his work, and he became one of my top players on the basketball team.
And I wanted to say this. This happened to me similar times. It happened with Debbie Bartlett when I was introduced to Miss Elaine Pindler on a bamboo shack. Miss Bartlett said, I'm going to introduce you to somebody. They are prominent people in the country. And they know I come from the street light, but they don't know that even though I came from the street light, I was very intelligent. And I never act like I was from the street life. You understand? I was actually a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And she told me, said, you have to be at your best behavior. And then you have the talk where you can get Miss Pindler to assist you. So you have to, you know, be at my best behavior and hope that times I finish having a conversation with her, that I would enlighten her heart, that she would assist me in many of my programs, and that happened. And again, to the former Minister of National Security, the Honorable Tommy Turnquest, I could always remember this. He was the Minister of National Security. I met him. We met at Gems Radio, where me and him were on radio. Imagine me sitting with the Minister of National Security. And he didn't want to go on unless I was on. And we was talking about crime, and we was talking about the programs that we would like to introduce. And he talked about the marijuana. He talked about dealing with second chance and all that, et cetera. And he said that he's talking to me, and he was understanding me. That's why I said to myself, sometimes you pick the wrong people. I think Tommy Turnquest would have been a great leader in this country. I don't care what nobody said, because my experience with him, there are many things we discussed. He said that it couldn't happen on his watch, but he make recommendation. And he said that if they win or lose the election, he would make more recommendation to make these programs happen. We're talking about legalization of marijuana. He said that on this watch, it wouldn't happen right now. The prime minister and make recommendation for it. Mm-hmm. All of this, Mr. Tommy Turnquest, for second chance, and all of this is work between Tommy Turnquest and also the lady Cheryl Wilson. Because, you know, I gave her pointers also because the Free National Movement was in power at that time. So I was coordinating with both political parties. And then Miss Cheryl Wilson, Lady Cheryl Wilson, she was the one who introduced the 10-point plan that the PLP won the general election. And so both of the parties, when they won, gone to the general polls, both were using the same ideas that I was creating with the Minister of National Security, Tommy Turnquest, and Cheryl Wilson. Unfortunately, Cheryl Wilson and the Progressive Liberal Party were able to win the election. And then in Parliament, I heard with Dr. Bernard Nordich, the Honorable Dr. Bernard Nordich, he deceased. He passed legislation on second chance, marijuana legislation. So all this is the work of citizens. So many of you who think it's a politician who doing all this stuff, no, there are people who are on the ground like Mr. Baker who are doing this stuff, influencing people and making a difference. And I just want to say this before we go. Tommy Tornquist tell me, said, wow, Scrooge, I believe in you. I believe that you have rehabilitated. You are rehabilitated, and I feel that the world needs you. I feel the Bahamas needs you to be an ambassador for the country. So when I asked him, he said, what do you think about me talking to the leader at that time was the Honorable Hubert Ingraham? And he said, what if I were to put you up on a poster all around town and in Miami International Airport? I said, for what reason? He said, because you are changed. You are rehabilitated. And you are doing great things in the country, you know, because he was taking my advice. There are many legislation passed that went to Tommy Tornquist and went to Parliament. There's many legislation passed under the Free National Movement, under the PLP, with Lady Cheryl Wilson. Anyone, Mr. Perry, former Prime Minister of the country, Perry Gladstone Christie, that I've been working with him before I even was close to working with Tommy Tornquist or Cheryl Wilson, just when I was working with Sir Lyndon Pinlin, working passing legislation. Like, for instance, urban renewal. Mm-hmm. That was the idea I put forward. But the Bell brothers from Elutra introduced me to the Honorable Perry Glasson Christie at the law office, at him and Hubert Ingraham in between Shirley Street and Bay Street. Mm-hmm. And we met there, and we had a discussion with one of the Bell sons. And then we were able to talk about developing a program where we could fix people's houses in the community. Perry Christie was not the prime minister at that particular time. So we went in there, and then we gave him some ideas on what he needs to do to help those in need. And we talked about fixing and repairing the homes. And that's how the idea of the urban, urban renewal.
Yeah.
See, when Mr. Christie was listening. So there are many programs that I myself and many others assisted in to make it come to Parliament to pass as legislation in the country. And Tommy Tornquist told me something. He said, I believe in you. He said, but Scrooge, Valentino, I'm vouching for you. So if I vote for you, what if you go out and get yourself involved in some kind of criminal offense? I said, sir, if you do that for me and I see that you are passing legislation, you're talking to your leader, I say, if you do that for me, I will never disappoint you. I'm still on the screen now and you'll be very proud of me. Yeah. And I've not gotten myself in a problem from that instant because I know that a lot of people out there are looking up to me. Same thing Ms. Alexander Miller said to me when she wanted to introduce me to the seminars, the Moscows and all that. She said, Scrooge, I'm introducing some very important people and say, I'm the one who vouching for you. Mm-hmm. Please. She didn't even say please. She said, I know by meeting you, myself, individually, you're not going to mess it up. So it's the ball is in your hand. If you reach these people and they believe in you, you're going to get support like you never seen before. Mm-hmm. And that's why we get this Sean Connery down there and his family donating to Lennon. But that's how we get Lennon community. That's why we have someone assisting now with a cleanup for over a year now in the Grandson community and looking for further development of one of those same families I talk about. So you see what I'm saying? So just like you say, and that right there is very important. Go on, Mr. Baker. We got 4 more minutes. All right, so I want to get your part. Tell us about money's in the States now. Is the sky the limit for him?
Most definitely, because he's not thinking the way he's thinking 3 years ago.
He's thinking about shooting gun or fighting.
Those things. Those are when you graduate from that space and you move on to another space, just like you. You know what I'm saying? Like they call it rehabilitated. You're rehabilitated now. Once you rehabilitate yourself and you start to see things differently, or you get around people and you see different things. The things that are past are no longer.
That's right.
You know, like, I grew up with some of my friends were bad boys doing things.
And you was doing
it. And when I got my opportunity and I was able to go to America and see, like, wow, these people don't fight and carry on the way they, at least where I was at, you know, and then I get to be around my coaches and other
some NBA men, players or high
school. You know what I'm saying? Yes, and I get to see that, wow, he's a coach and he's making $100,000 a year. He got a nice house, he got a family, he can go in the store, he can buy whatever he wants. You know, these things, like, it's no struggle. People live comfortable. You can live comfortable and be, you know, on the straight and narrow and not getting in trouble and not making bad decisions. So it just changed my whole mind, changed my whole concept of living. You know, now I'm living with a purpose. I'm not just on the path of destruction anymore. So I think I put him on the path and he see it, you know, because he was around me firsthand. He saw how I maneuver. He listened to the things I told him, like, and everything I told him came to fruition. Like, wow. So I one thing I always tell him, I said, being bad is way more expensive than being good. And he's like, what that mean? I said, once you get in trouble, right, your mom's, you're barely making it. I say, can you afford to give the Bahamas government more money?
Because a lawyer right now is anywhere from $5,000, $10,000.
Like, you can't afford
it. And that could be a year savings for your mom or your dad.
You understand what I'm saying? You're not in a luxury. You being bad. And what is it profiting you or your family? Nothing. You just being bad and being bad. Mm. You're not making any money out of it. And all you're doing is
back
throwing
and
your moms in a bigger burden, a bigger hole. So what's the purpose of it?
I come to the same conclusion.
You understand? Like, what is the purpose of it? So now that he realized it, I'd rather take my talents, I'd rather take my youth, my energy, and do something more constructive and more productive.
I want to say thank you, Mr. Baker, for coming on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio. But I want to thank you as a person who have seen your progress and what you're doing for the less fortunate in the country. I want to say thanks to the staff at Silence Primary, and C.R. Walker, our secondary school, for giving you the opportunity to coach and for you to be a teacher. And I want to say to the staff at C.R. Walker, this guy is in talk with the young kids in the community. Not only he's a coach, but he comes on the park that's good with, and he sits and he watches them play, and he plays against them. So he has a relationship, and this relationship can transform that kid because the kid respects him. If the kid is ever going to do anything wrong and the coach is wrong, the coach only ever snap his finger. And he respect the coach because he know deep down in his heart he don't want to disappoint coach and he respect coach.
Yes.
So coach, I want to say thank you. You are one in a million. Just keep up the good work. And we'll see you sometime again on the show to talk about updates and some more kids who hopefully would be Hugh Campbell champions and then transfer to the States on the year wing.
Most
so
definitely.
We want to keep on talking about the progress. So definitely from time to time, I want you to come in the studios and talk about the progress.
Most definitely.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to say thanks to everyone who listened to the show. I want to, again, say thanks to the Sean Connery family for the donation to Lenahan Bahamas for the musical and recording studio that we built and named after the Connery family that will be in the grandstand. That is big for us.
That's major.
That is big for us. So we're going to see big changes in the community. And I want to say to everyone who listen to the show, please don't get yourself in no car accident. If you're cutting some onions, chicken, don't cut yourself on the hand because the hospital is completely, completely full. Okay, they don't have no space for you. So please, drive with caution. Please stay with all the cation. Get an altercation with no one where violence is involved because if you get hurt, if you get shoot, you get stabbed, you could forget about it. You could die from internal bleeding. Or you could die from non-services, okay? So I'd like to say thanks to my producer, Wally. And we're out of here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Enjoy.